Hello and good afternoon. My name is Adam Curtis. I'm on the team at St Mary's Maidenhead, and it's a joy to be back here in Windsor again. Please do keep Matthew 16 open, and as we come to God's word, let us come in humility and in prayer. Dearest God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we thank you, Father God, that with your words you created all that we see and touch and know and feel. We thank you, Father God, that with your living word, you show us what is true and right and good. You teach us about yourself and you teach about us and you teach about our need for you. And we ask, Father God, that as we come to your word right now, you might create life within us, Father God, and lead us to yourself. And we ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me tell you a tale of a little boy who wanted to go swimming. His mother arranged to drive him to the local swimming pool and put him in the car. And as he's looking around the car, he's like, this isn't swimming. They drive down the road and they get to a big car park. And he gets out of the car, looks around the car park, and he's like, this isn't swimming. They walk over to a leisure centre, which says swimming pool right above it. And he's like, this isn't swimming. They get over and they pay at the reception desk for a ticket for a mother and a child to go swimming. And they walk into the changing rooms and he's like, this isn't swimming. And the further he goes on, the more frustrated he is. His mum puts him into his swimming costume and he's just screaming in her face, this isn't swimming. And he's then taken to a big pool. And he's so angry that his eyes just shut up and he's just like screaming and screaming. He's like, this isn't swimming. That little boy needs to follow the signs and needs to open his eyes because the swimming pool is there. In the same way, the little boy might completely misunderstand all that he is seeing around him. These people who have come to see Jesus, these Pharisees and Sadducees, they need to open their eyes. We land here in Matthew chapter 16, and two groups have come to see Jesus. And they have come and they have asked Jesus for a sign from heaven. Think what Jesus has just been doing for all the chapters before. He's just fed 4,000 with a few loaves and fishes. Before that, he fed 5,000 with a few loaves and a few fishes. He's just been healing people who are crippled and enabling those who are blind so that they can see. He's been driving out the demons. Jesus has given them sign after sign after sign that is from heaven. And these Pharisees are like that little boy who isn't looking at the signs but is refusing to believe the evidence. And they need to open their eyes. And Jesus has a quite strong rebuke for them because he's like, they have eyes, they can see. Verse 2, he replied, when evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. And that statement, they know that it's the sky is red, so it's going to be stormy. It's a statement. They're literally looking. They're looking out. It's like us being like, whew, it's grey and it's blustery. It's probably going to rain. It is probably going to rain. We're looking at the signs. We know what they mean. We're following the evidence. We're opening our eyes. And Jesus is saying, you know how to do that. You know how to think. You know how to follow your minds and follow the logic of the evidence of what is right in front of you. Now do that with me. Do that with me. And his verdict on these Sadducees and Pharisees, it is strong, really strong. Verse 4, a wicked and an adulterous generation look for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Jesus then left them and went away. Jesus has a strong verdict for them. They're wicked. Because they're not following the evidence right in front of you. And actually, you can get to a point where if you're not following the evidence, then actually we would say what is happening there is wicked, isn't it? We read about the horrible case of Jimmy Savile and the BBC and all these people who suffered there. And the big report which was done in it said that people knew. People knew what was going on. They saw that something was wrong, but they never said anything. They never did anything. And actually, what do we think of someone who knows that something's going wrong, but doesn't say anything about it? Well, we think that there's something wrong. Actually, that act of seeing and not acting on it, actually, the judgment is then also on them. A different judgment, yes, but the judgment is also on them. And Jesus is saying something strong against these Pharisees and Sadducees. They need to open their eyes. They need to see what is happening. And because they're not seeing what is happening, they're a wicked and adulterous generation. Now, it's got to be said that there's nothing wrong with looking. Nothing wrong with wanting evidence. What's wrong is not the fact that someone might want evidence to know if Jesus is the Son of God. John the Baptist wanted evidence to know if Jesus was the Son of God. What is the problem is when you have the evidence and you refuse to follow the evidence. That is what Jesus is speaking against here. And after giving them this verdict, they're a wicked and adulterous generation, he says that all they'll get is the sign of Jonah. Now, what is the sign of Jonah? Now, I think there's two things what the sign of Jonah could be. So the sign of Jonah could be, looking back at the story of the prophet, where you have Jonah who doesn't want to go to Nineveh to preach, and he goes sailing. He gets thrown overboard. He gets swallowed by a fish, in the fish for 3 days. He's then shut up, and he goes to preach. So the sign of Jonah could be this incredible act of Jonah being in the whale for 3 days and then being shut up so he could go in Nineveh to preach. It could be that. Or it could be the thing which the Ninevites themselves saw. Because all the people of Nineveh saw, they didn't see the fish. All the people of Nineveh saw is a man preaching, repent and believe. So this sign of Jonah, Jesus is saying all they're going to get is the sign of Jonah. Well, it could be that in the same way that that Jonah was in the fish for 3 days is the same way that Jesus is in the grave for 3 days. So all that they're going to get is this, the evidence of the resurrection. Could be getting at that. Or it could be getting at the sense that actually all you'll have now is the sign of Jonah. You'll have the preacher who's come and who's calling you to repent and to believe. But actually, I think it's probably a little bit of both. It's probably a little bit of both. I think it's both. A sense that actually they all have that. We all have that final piece of evidence about who Jesus Christ is. He is the one who has defeated death and has left the grave empty. We have that sign of Jonah. We know that Jesus has acted in history. But also, we now have the preacher who has gone out all over the world declaring, repent and believe. Jesus Christ is Lord and he has come. Repent and believe. Open your eyes. Open your eyes to what is going on right in front of you. But from warning the Pharisees and Sadducees to open their eyes, Jesus then continues on in verses 5 to 12, and he then warns his disciples, guard your ears. Verses 5 to 12, guard your ears. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they need their eyes to be opened. Well, the disciples need to learn not to listen to those who have got their eyes shut. Because if you listen to someone who's got your eyes shut, they'll fall in a pit and you'll fall in a pit as well. And so Jesus gives them a warning, verse 5. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. Be careful, Jesus said to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now you can sort of like pity the disciples here at this moment because they're a bit confused and Jesus rebukes them. Verse 7, they discussed this among themselves and said, is it because we didn't bring any bread? And you can sort of see why they might think that, because yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees, without any explanation, you're like, what does that mean? I understand the word yeast. I know we don't have any bread. Maybe this is what Jesus is getting at. But that's not what Jesus is getting at. He's not getting at that at all. In fact, what Jesus is getting at is the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Because actually, when you're with Jesus, you don't have to worry about bread. And we see that in verse 8. Of where their discussion, Jesus asked, "You have little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it that you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread?" When you're with Jesus, and he can turn a few loaves so it feeds 4,000 and a few loaves so it feeds 5,000, you don't need to worry about bread. What they do need to worry about, though, is the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of the Sadducees. And what is that? Verse 12. Then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They needed to guard their ears against the teaching of the Pharisees and the teaching of the Sadducees. Because a little bit of teaching from them can do a lot of damage. A little bit of yeast used in a bread mix and it rises. The little bit impacts the whole. A little bit of teaching from the Sadducees and the Pharisees is dangerous. If I am tripped later and spilt some water down here, what would we do? Well, maybe we'd get out a sign and we'd put a sign over this which says danger, wet surface, and then we'd mop it all up, but we'd keep the sign there so that no one slips. It's a tiny puddle. It's a tiny little bit of water, and yet we need the sign. Why do we need the sign there? Because it's still dangerous, because someone can still slip, even though it's a tiny little bit of water. A tiny little bit of this yeast, a tiny little bit of that teaching from the Sadducees and from the Pharisees, it is dangerous. And they need to guard their ears against it. But what is dangerous, though, about the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Well, the Pharisees, they had a very hard faith. They had a faith which was serious and impressive. They loved their form and they loved their structure and they loved their rules. And they would take the rules that God had given and they would add to them, as we saw a few weeks ago in Matthew 14. Add and add and add and add till the burden was so heavy that no one could follow it. And the yeast of the Sadducees, which needs to be avoided, is a faith which is actually very soft. The Sadducees, they were very comfortable and they were very powerful. They were favored by Herod and favored by the Romans. Not all priests were Sadducees, but if you were a Sadducee, you were a priest. So they were very powerful in the Jewish religion and the Jewish structures. And they were free thinkers and liberal in their ideas. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe that someone had a soul. And they didn't believe that there was a judgment to come. And it was more the idea they take from God's word. And they take and they take and they take. So the disciples need to be careful not to fall for teaching which adds, which is hard, or to fall for teaching which is soft and teaching which takes. Because both these teachings are dangerous. The teaching which is hard, it might look serious and impressive, but it just adds and adds and adds to what Jesus has done. And that teaching which is soft might be something quite enviable about that, about their wealth and their power and their life which they live. You might be quite envious of it. It might look easy and nice, and you just want that as well, just to get rid of laws and laws and laws and God's word again and again and again. There's something so appealing about both of them, and the disciples need to be on their guard against each. They need to guard their ears. Now, you guys know Windsor Castle far better than I do. I haven't been there for a few years, but I remember the last time I was there. And what do you see everywhere? Well, you see men and women with guns. And you see cameras. And what are these people looking out for? I don't think they're looking for a tank. I don't think they're looking for an invading army, even though I hope if one comes that they're there. They're looking for an individual. They're looking for someone who's suspicious. They're looking for someone who does something suspicious. You've got to be on your guard, not against that army which might come, but against that small thing, that little bit of teaching, which will rip you away. As we meditate on these words, what is God saying to us here today, here in Windsor? Well, God is saying to us, live in reality. Live in reality. The thousand feeding, lame healing, deaf defeating Son of God has come. Live in reality. His light has pierced the darkness. His teaching has transformed the world. His love can give you life. Live in reality. Open your eyes to this reality of who Jesus Christ is. If you're here and you're intrigued by Christ, but still trying to work out if he's Lord and Savior, well, come and look at the evidence. Look at what he's done in history and in his word. If you're here today and you've been looking at the evidence for a while, but you still just can't make up your mind, well, follow where the evidence takes you. Open your eyes to the wonder of who Jesus Christ is and the life that he gives. And if you've been following Jesus for a long time and known him as Lord and Savior, well, live in the reality of his lordship. Let his lordship touch every element of your life and let his blessings flow all over you. Open your eyes, live in his reality. He has come. And guard your ears. Guard your ears of that hard faith which adds to God's word and that soft faith which takes away from it. And what does that then look like for us to guard our ears? Well, it looks like when life calls us to new places and to think about what sort of church we want to be a part of, or what sort of church this church wants to be in the future, in this great time of change, we think, are we going to be a church which is delving deep into this word? Or are we going to be a church which avoids the hard parts of this word? Are we going to be a church which is maybe more easy and more comfortable, but actually it's just a church which is taking away from God's word? What does it look like for us to guard our ears? Well, let's guard our ears as we listen to Christian podcasts and read Christian books. They're wonderful things. I literally have a podcast and I've written in a book, so I'm not against any of those things. But we should guard our ears. We should grow in discernment. Actually, this thing which I'm listening to, actually this book which I'm reading, actually is it helping me to love my brothers and sisters in Christ? Is it spurring me on? Is it challenging me? Because it's interesting, isn't it, how many influences which are out there. And there can be quite a harsh hardness to certain Christian influences nowadays. There's even a few out there who use language about people and about people who aren't Christians, which just sort of encourages you to view your neighbour almost as your enemy. And actually, are these people encouraging us to love and to service? Let's be thoughtful. Let's grow in discernment about the things that we listen to and the things that we read. And let's ask ourselves questions about the things that we watch. When we're watching Netflix or Amazon Prime or Disney Plus or Apple TV or whatever it may be, let's grow in discernment. Actually, this TV show which I love, actually, what's it telling me about the world? What's it telling me about God? What's it telling me is the good life? And is that life actually good? Let's grow in discernment. Let's be asking ourselves thoughtful questions about the things we read. Let's guard our ears. When I was a teenager, there was a very famous singer-songwriter called Vicky Beeching. And she wrote a biography. And she struggled with her evangelical faith that she'd grown up in and the songs that she sang, the evangelical songs that she sang. And she started by questioning things around sexuality and things around marriage. And she started to untangle herself from any sort of conservative, orthodox beliefs about that. But as she then started going on, it was like she'd released a thread of a jumper and just pulled and pulled and pulled. And by the end of her book and the end of her autobiography, everything then was out. The idea that Jesus was the only way to heaven was out. The idea that there's a judgment was out. The idea that Jesus was even maybe the Son of God was questionable. Suddenly it all started to unravel. And it started with a little bit of teaching, a little bit of an idea, which just took her away from the Lord. We need to be men and women who are living in reality. Christ has come. He is a thousand defeating, lame healing, deaf defeating Son of God. Live in his reality. There is nowhere better. There is nowhere safer. There is nowhere else where you will know the richness of this love. There is nowhere else you will know the depth of this forgiveness. There is nowhere else to be. So live in this reality that he has come. Let's spend a moment just meditating on God's word, and then I'll close in prayer. Dearest God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we ask you, Father God, help us to be men and women who have our eyes wide open, who follow the signs, who follow the evidence, who are confident that Jesus Christ is Lord and Saviour. Help us, Father God, to be men and women who are guarding our ears, who are careful about the things we listen to and enjoy. Help us, Father God, to live in reality that your Son has come. Help us, Father God, to know his love, to follow wherever he may take us, and to stand confident in the forgiveness that he has given us. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.